Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast based in the northeast of England where I like to go around to art things and see what's good with them. My name is Alice.
And I'm Rosie.
And something I like to do here in Hey Art, What's Good? Is to see what's good with each of us. So Rosie, what's good with you?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm surprised each time, even though it's totally the format that I came up
We've
with.
We've never not done it.
Yep. But what's good with it? I'm just thankful. I think that's still something that's nice to be actively thankful about. And yeah. I hope that we can inspire listeners to like ask their friends what's good.
And it's always nice to be asked, like, oh, like what's good?
Yeah,
what's
tell me a good thing. Yeah. Like, not like tell me how your day was. Like tell me one good thing that happened this week. Like that's a nice little thing.
That is nice.
So aside from that being good, I'm going on a little like mother-daughter dates.
Aww.
And it's really nice, and it's like, I don't know, it's just a nice way, because I'm from, so I never lived with my dad growing up, so it's been really easy as a grown-up to like have an adult relationship with him, because I've never not had to make the effort to go around to his house and stuff.
Mm.
But with mum, because I've always lived with her, now that I've moved out, it's really weird to have to like go back and hang out with her, because she's always just been there. So like, and I kind of don't want to go back, because her house used to be my house and now it's not. So it, like, I don't have a place, if you know what I mean. So it's been really cute that we've been going out. Well, she came to an art thing with us and like in Hartlepool. And we went to the cinema and we're like, go like for little like coffees and lunches and like dinner out. And it's just lovely. And I like, I'm excited to progress in 2020 with like mother-daughter dates.
Oh,
because it's like nice and grown up. It's just cute, and like we're both like doing, we can do like grown-up things together and like have like late, like not like late nights, but we'll go to the cinema and not don't get home till like midnight. And it's because we're both like, I don't know, we'll both work part-time, we're both, I don't know, it's just really fun.
Yeah. Aww.
It's cute.
That is really cute.
So I'm excited to do more like, oh, and I'm excited for like to do that in spring as well, because I don't drive and she does, so I feel like we can get in some like National Trust and stuff.
Ooh,
that's the dream.
Nice.
Well, that's the dream.
Remember a good few episodes ago you mentioned your mum wanting to fill up a National Trust passport.
Yes.
So it's 70 places before she's 70.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's her goal. And on a total another tangent.
Yeah, please.
Ages ago, like not the last Berwick Film Festival, the one before, you and me talked about going to Holy Island and doing the Pilgrim's Walk.
Oh, yeah.
We should do that this summer.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, cool. I just feel like that's something mum might want to do as well.
I think so.
So, all right, cool.
Nice.
I'll put that in the to-do list.
Lovely.
What about you? What is good?
What's good with me is recently, so like the weekend that we're just before we record this, showed a friend how to develop film,
and
that's it was really fun. It was like a nice afternoon made of it, and it's like, turns out I can teach people how to do things. I have that capacity.
Lovely.
So it's just really nice, just a little nice little thing.
Well, hopefully one day in our future we'll like, people will invite us to do workshops and arty things. Aww. And pay us for our time and skills and knowledge, and you can do that.
Sure, yeah,
I bet you could do it. And do it really well.
Oh, well, thank you.
You've done it once. There's no stopping you now.
Oh, simply not.
Lovely.
Lovely.
What else is lovely?
Hey,
I got there first.
I was gonna say, just beat us to it. Then you can finish your sentence then.
Was our trip to the Hatton.
Yeah.
Which is in Newcastle University. And it's quite beautiful. Lovely building. Mm-hmm. And the campus in general, gorgeous. The exhibition is called Origins and Endings. And it's a big collaboration with like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So there's like, so there's three main parties, I think. And it's, let's see, is it Mark Carroll, who's a musician and a composer, I guess. Marianne Wilde, who's an artist. And they collaborated with academics from the Policy, Ethics and Life Research Center, like Research Center. I gave up on the word there before I finished saying it. And is that Peels?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love a good acronym.
I don't. Dyslexic.
Yes.
And they're actually from Newcastle University. So it all ties in that this is in the Hatton, because it's a wonderful, it's just like, that's what makes universities quite wonderful sometimes, that it's so many different schools of thought, quite literally, that can come together in this space, and like really interesting things can happen.
Yeah, man.
So I feel like this is very scientific in the way that information has been presented in the Hatton.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a creative research project that's now being displayed, like a final product, which I'm extremely into, because in my, I talk about this probably all the time and I think about this all the time. Second year of university, what was it, 2016? was probably the best project I ever did, and it was all about like chance and fate whether like how much control does the artist have over the artwork, like does the art make itself, and like how much ownership does the creative mind actually have over the finished product and all that sort of stuff. And I conducted it like a scientific experiment. Ooh. Like each piece was like an experiment I was doing. So I had like, as you would with an experiment, I had like rules you had to follow, and then like, so the constants and the variables, mm-hmm. and like built it up. And the way I actually presented it was like a portfolio, like a box of information. Oh, so when you hand it in at the end, you're meant to do it like in a massive art folder with things like that. But I didn't. I made them into little books, like leaflets. Yeah. Like I was handing in thesis, or something. So this was my jam.
Hell yeah, dude.
But also, it's quite heavy. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I truly understand all the scientific research. Yes. But I think that this show isn't really about that. Mm. I think it's about how we translate information and the importance of applying creative thought and creative processes to every aspect of research and critical thought. Because I've written in my notes here, so this art, this like kind of this exhibition is highlighting the partnerships of creative and scientific trains of thought, but then I wrote in brackets, which I would argue is the same.
Yeah.
Because scientists, like actual researchers, need to have some degree of creativity.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're not going to be able to solve problems. Like mathematicians and scientists are in like, you know, some of the most creative people, because these are people that are trying to solve problems that have existed for as long as we've been aware of them. And like we're all just working towards like figuring things out.
Yeah.
And when I was at uni, it was all like everyone would always say on your CV, always put creative problem solving, because that is what makes artists like and creative people just generally like important. Like businesses want creative people.
Yeah.
And in a way they haven't maybe in the past. So it's all very exciting to be creative right now. And I think like everyone has the capacity to be creative. Because I bet there's people out there who think, oh no, I'm maths and I'm science and therefore I'm logic. And it's not as clean cut as that. Doesn't work. So let's get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this exhibition is like it's about all of that, kind of applying a creative kind of interpretation of science and like research and this sort of development, very specifically about human development.
Yes.
So it's not just any old science.
We've had so much like so many exhibitions recently on like reflecting on like the nature of being human.
Yeah.
Being like in relation to animals, in relation to like, I don't know, like obviously like politics, society, like the environment, I mean, ecosystems.
It's the eternal question, isn't it, really? Ever since humans had thought, we've had all the philosophers and all that.
Where do we go in this messy thing that is called the universe?
Yep. This mess called life.
Yeah.
But this exhibition kind of looks at like a few things, but a big main like component of it is like literal human development, like growing from an embryo into a human being. Yeah. Which is crazy when you think about it. Human body can do like a bunch. It can just make a whole new person. Isn't that mental?
Wild. Ooh, almost fell off my chair. That's also wild. I'm that perturbed by the thought of pregnancy.
But there was like a good few things. So there was wall-based stuff. There was videos. There was music. And there was sculptures.
Yeah.
And the sculpture was wacky. Well, there's two sculptures. There was one main sculpture, which was wacky. So of the two artists that were involved, there was Mark Carroll. He was the musician. So there's a really cool music piece that we'll talk about in a hot sec. But the kind of more visual artist, Marianne Wild, she did a few sculptures. And this one sculpture was just funky. It was weird.
It was funky.
Yeah, funky works.
Well, it made us look twice.
It certainly did. It's called Vital Heat. And just the, do you know like when you have like an art show, it says like, name the artist, name the piece, yeah, it was made. Then the components for this are wolf pelt, dog teeth, and borosilicate glass.
Yes.
So to describe it, it's basically this big glass, science-y looking beaker thing. It's like a surface theory bit.
I'm going to reference your favourite film. Do you know the excitement?
Uh-huh.
Do you know in Centrillions, the remake?
Of course.
When they're like making vodka, it's just nodding knowingly.
I was okay. As soon as you said your favorite movie, my brain flicked to the exact scene because it's that song's, oh my gosh, my yes. days are good. I'm sorry, continue, Rosie.
No, you just said all I needed to say there. Basically, if you've seen that film, imagine that. There you are. Or Nightmare Before Christmas, when Jack's trying to figure out what Christmas is.
Yes, and he's got all these speakers and that.
He uses this sort of tool.
Yes, so this, it's like a spherical glass thing with a big like glass tube that comes up, does a U-E at the top, and then comes back down, and it gets like progressively kind of thinner. And it's kind of like anyone who did GCSE biology, Louis Pasteur, how he like accidentally discovered the existence of like microbes and bacteria and that, because he had this like weird tubey thing which had like a U in it, and then the stuff that was in there was going bad because the air was getting to that. There was a thing. It's kind
you
of
had to be there
back in like the 1850s or whatever,
back when you were doing your GCSEs.
God, every now and then I just think about that. I was like, remember how much time I spent on reading them bloody science books?
I think about like how much time I didn't spend revising for my like geography GCSE, and how much I don't regret that.
Yep.
So there we are.
Oh, there you go.
Something.
But what's in the spherical circular glass bit is, I guess, the wolf pelt and dog teeth, although you can only really see the wolf pelt because it's just this like perfect kind of little mound of fur. Yeah. But my main question is, how the hell did that get in there?
It has to be cut off at the bottom.
Well, it probably is, but you can't really see because it's on like a plinth. But it's like, it's...
Let's say magic. Because it does seem like a magic quality.
Yeah, I'll say magic.
Alchemy is coming to my mind. Hey, like, I mean, something. It's science, but it's not quite.
Yeah. I guess that has to be it. Because the only other option, I guess, is that...
Throw it in there.
Well, no. That seems like another magic option, to be fair. But no, like, you'd have the wolf pelt and then blow glass around it. But I feel as though the wolf pelt would probably just set on fire.
Immediately.
Like, molten glass is... pretty toasty.
As we know, because we blew glass. Thanks, Aaron Dixon.
So cut to clip, but we don't do that here.
I mean, we could pretend, like cut to clip and then just like insert clanging noises.
Yes.
So let's not do that.
No,
that
let's not.
Dumb.
Like, I'm not really sure what the kind of point of, not point, not really sure like the
There's
background
never a
is.
Point to art.
The background of this piece is. But this is one of those ones where I just looked at it and was like, I really like that.
It's an oddity.
It is an oddity.
And that's okay. Ooh. You know, you don't have to know why you like something like it. That's something that like every university ever will argue with me about. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. I graduated. I don't have to listen to you anymore. But yeah, like I think that's valid.
Perfect.
It's interesting. It's an oddity. It's something you've not seen before. It's something that's kept you thinking.
Yes.
And that is sounds like successful art to me.
Yeah. Ticks all them boxes.
My favourite was for sure the video piece. Not the doc, because there are several video pieces. Mm-hmm. There's like a documentary about the work and mm-hmm. the project. And then there's like a more artsy video.
Yes.
Like an audiovisual piece.
Indeedy.
And the music's class for it. I loved it. But I'll talk you through the visuals first. Because I think this was like, this had center stage, really.
Pretty much.
The way that like the plinths are like laid out like around the room. And I think even it's framed by two wall-based works as well.
Yes.
And they're kind of part of us, like they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like sandwiched between these things. It's very like together. And I like the symmetry because mm-hmm. it's all about, it looks like different like cross sections of the human head, like as if from it's like an MRI or something.
Yeah.
And then they've kind of been put together, like animated. I don't know if it comes like an animation because I feel like that's something that MRIs could totally do.
Yeah.
I have no idea whether this was done by the machine itself or if it's post.
Yeah.
But it kind of like takes you through the human skull and it does it like from the front to the back, from like up, like from down, up to down
yeah.
or something, and then through like from one ear
like
to
from
the
side
other.
To side, yeah.
Yeah. And then through that, there's like, it's interesting music. So it's kind of like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But then also
head.
Like a little bit of a drum roll or like this, mm-hmm. it's very like suspenseful, but it's also really rhythmic. Like it's
yeah.
catchy. I liked it. And then this is kind of that underpins your whole experience as you're looking around the rest of the art. So I just really like that. I think that like it had center stage because it also, the sound for that is the soundtrack for the, because this is only in one room.
Mm.
And I think like that just provides a really nice backdrop, like an audio backdrop to the pieces. Yeah.
It does. It does. And it's cool because it's like, we talked about this and we'll put it on the Instagram. So like as part of this MRI thing, I think it's from, I guess when the, it's going from front to back or something. Like, so you see like different like bits. So when it gets to one of the frames, you can see like part of the human's like eyes of whoever the person was in the MRI thing. And if you'll recall recently on social media, there was that really funny photo of like a pug that was in like a MRI scanner and its bulbous eyes
awful.
Look mental.
So that's on the Instagram at Hey Art What's Good.
There's just one solid frame in this animation that shows that, and really it's worth it.
And did I get a photo of it? Hell yeah, I did. Yeah. You better believe it. We're professionals.
We want you to see and appreciate the meme.
Meme
and artwork in all their glories.
Because one day we're going to do a minisode, because like I feel like minisodes should be more of a thing. Or just like episodes where we talk about just like concepts and things.
Yeah.
Like get in touch if that's something you're interested in and you want to talk about a concept, because we'll talk about it. I swear. I promise you. But I would happily talk about how all art, I will argue that all art ever is a meme.
Oh, okay. A bold claim.
I can look at, like, I could happily talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we'll go, is it Richard Dawkins? Is that his name, the scientist?
Oh, yes.
And he came up with the term meme in the 70s. And I can get, like, if you look at the definition of a meme, a subsection of meme is the internet meme.
Mm-hmm.
But another subsection of meme could be the visual arts.
Yeah.
And I would, if I go back in time, I'd write my dissertation on that.
Oh, yeah.
Or go forward in time to when I'm doing a master's or something.
Perfect. Ooh, well excited.
So if anyone wants to hear me talk about that, get in touch.
That'll be good.
But let's carry on.
Indeed. But yeah, that one, the two pieces that was framed by was pretty cool, because it wasn't just like a print of like a single frame. There's like a print of that and then a kind of like another layer on top of it, which I always love stuff like that. I love when you like separate things out into layers.
I would argue that Francis Bacon,
Ellen
Gallagher's work in that was very like, this reminded me of that, because again, I feel like that was very bodily.
Yep.
And she had some very brain-like forms in her work. Mm. And I feel like, because obviously this is the actual brain and actual head, it's this is like, because it's like a, is it an actual scan of a head?
I mean, it looks like it's
printed. I don't know how they've printed it, because I don't pay that much attention, mm-hmm. apparently. But then on top of that, like, separated by an inch or so, by, it might be on the glass of the frame, I'm not sure.
Yeah, might be.
Is a line drawing in white, and it's kind of like going over the key like lines of what I can only assume what like of the scan.
Yeah.
But it's lush. I really love it. And then it almost, because there's that layer of separation, it almost kind of casts shadows and things like that. And there's lots of layers to this drawing. But maybe that's a reference to how MRIs work, is essentially like x-rays and things, is we understand a lot of the insides of the human body through shadow, because of how that's how we access those images. So that was quite a cool link that you can take away.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally I felt like this show was really good at like expressing the importance of like, take a step back and appreciate that most of what we understand from science is taught and told through images and through visual arts.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, this one in particular, I just had a look at the bit of information that I got for it. It's like these two prints that are across the, actually I think that whole wall is called this, it's called the Unsolved Case, but then it's also in German underneath it, Der Ungelöste Fall. And it's like Marianne Wilde, who's the visual artist for this, worked with Professor Volker Straub, and it's a kind of body of work that considers the ways that genetic diseases are visually, linguistically, and culturally represented through illustration and new technologies used in laboratory diagnostic techniques. So that's kind of cool, because like, so I wonder then if like the back bit is like, there was like the normal head and the top bit on the like on the screen that's printed on or drawn on is kind of like representative of some like diseased areas, like something like that.
That's yes, because it's almost kind of like when you get like, I don't know this from personal experience, but it's like in films and TV when like they get the x-ray or the scan and then they have like the white pen and they're like, and I'm just this like, imagine the problem
is. Yeah, like CSI or something like that. Yes. I guess house is more appropriate because that's like a medical one.
Or ER. I don't know. I don't watch medical stuff. The craze is over.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the only medical adjacent show that I really watched was Bones because she was a forensic anthropologist. Yes. But then that helped solve crime and I was like big into crime dramas. Also, that show went on for far too long. My God.
Oh.
We'll have a rant about that in a different episode.
Can't wait. Hold on to your hats, guys.
Yes.
It's coming.
But what you were saying there, Rosie, about how like this whole thing looks at and impresses the importance of like kind of visual and creative ways of looking at stuff. The other piece that we're going to talk about is kind of looking at that, but with music and like listening to it. So a big component of the show, as I said before, is about like human growth and embryos, and for that the composer Mark Carroll created a piece with like kids, I guess, like school kids and researchers and other musicians to just like make a music piece that is essentially the real in real music time the development of the human embryo in three stages.
And I think a big breakthrough in that scientifically was being able to capture the image of the embryo developing.
Yes.
So that's, again, it's the link between like art and science and like visual language and like the scientific data and how we communicate and express ourselves as humans and like different layers of communication have all come together. So this breakthrough of actually being able to see what the embryo is doing and over a certain amount of time how fast it grows in and of itself was this huge monumental discovery.
Yeah.
So that's kind of I think that in itself like that reflects the whole ethos of this exhibition really well.
Yes.
But then what he goes on to do, which I thought was quite interesting, is kind of map that time scale with music, but in doing that he has to change the time, so the scale of the music from start to finish, that like composition is the pregnancy start to finish, so then like a minute becomes like a week, you know, so like,
because well, I believe it's
messing with time, it's getting, so that's really an abstract endeavor, I think. That's really brave and interesting and exciting and very art.
Yeah, it's also like, I don't know, I'd even begin with that.
No, but not at all.
I believe the piece is about 9 minutes long, so it's like a month a minute.
Fascinating.
I suppose, which is cool. And he broke it down into like three stages. So the first stage is like the kind of mitochondria cells multiplying, and it was for that stage he got like school kids to like help pitch ideas, but like for that apparently he didn't use like any visual materials. He's like, right, I want like conceptual thoughts, kids. So for this one there's lots of kind of like long drawn out notes in this piece. And then the second bit, like the second stage, is like the development of a heart. So there's like lots of kind of like heartbeats, and it gets faster and faster and faster. And then the final like bit, or the final melody,
which includes a fun fact,
is like lots of different instruments playing, but like in a kind of staggered way. Mm-hmm. And that's apparently because, didn't know this, when an embryo develops its limbs, it does the top ones first, and then a little bit later the bottom ones go, because they kind of see what the top ones have done, like, okay, we can do that.
It's like a copy and paste job,
kind of, but then not quite, because obviously arms and legs are different. So it's kind of like,
well, it's like when you copy and paste in your own essay and you don't want to plagiarize yourself.
I was gonna say, when you're trying to copy off someone who's sitting like just a bit further away from you, so you can kind of see what they're writing about but not quite.
Amazing.
Either or.
I was thinking, like, you know when you've got like really like you've got your notes, then you come back and do the revised version, and that's why your legs are longer.
Oh, there you go. I like
I said it as if it was fact.
Yep. It was the confidence and the kind of implication that yes, this is a phrase that exists.
It's just confidence, kids.
Indeed. But so this film piece where I learned all this wonderful information is like, it's playing on two screens, so you can just like have a stand and have a watch. It's only like probably like, what, 5 or 6 minutes long. Yeah, it's not long. It's
really interesting.
It's super interesting, and you hear bits of the music throughout, but you can't actually listen to the piece, which is weird.
We do have an issue with this. So I think it has been played live some point recently.
2018, it was on at the Great North Museum. Like, that was like the culmination of this research, was this live performance with all the musicians.
However, like, the whole, it's, I think we were talking about this just before recording, and you hit the nail on the head. You were just like, so you've got this whole show, but the art isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a big piece missing. And I don't know if that's just us missing it, or if us, like, I don't know why you'd give the audience FOMO, fear of missing out, for people who don't know that.
Yes.
But serious art FOMO.
A little bit, yeah, because I just want to listen to it.
And we were also thinking about, there's loads of creative, maybe it was a missed opportunity. Because, maybe. Like, I think there's loads of creative ways where you can kind of mix it in. Like, so you don't have to, as I said, like, there's already this nice sound going on that I really liked. And I wouldn't want to take that away from the overall experience of this exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked, I think we both liked, A Foul and Awesome Display by Kirsty Harris, which was the exhibition, Cast Your Minds Back, at Vane Gallery about atomic weapons.
Yes.
And she created a piece, I'm not going to go too much into it, but it was a sound piece with like all the facts, and like it was kind of statistics translated into music. But she had like an old phone that would ring every 20 minutes or so, and if you picked up, you could listen to the music.
Yeah.
Would you answer the call? When art rings, will you answer the call? So there's loads of, and that became kind of an installation, an interactive piece where the music kind of calls you and reaches out to you, and you can have that kind of intimate moment with it. And I do think that it's a shame that we didn't get to like have a moment with the art.
I'd love to have a moment. But...
And because something else I like was thinking about whilst we were there is it's really nice as two people that love art. But I mean, I don't think with that experience with music like this, it's really cool that we can go into a place where we're really comfortable, like an art gallery, and experience something we wouldn't otherwise experience, or like we're, I don't know, we're more open to it maybe because it's in a like environment we're used to.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, and I would have that's why I'm frustrated, because I wanted more.
Yeah.
So it left me wanting a little bit. Not to say that the whole thing wasn't fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I did really enjoy what was there, but it's almost like there was more and I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
There just wasn't enough for me. I'm not satisfied. I'm not full.
No. I mean, I'll have an internet trawl, see if I can find anything on YouTube or whatever, but we'll see.
Yeah.
If I do, it'll be on the blog post for this episode.
But yeah, there we are.
Yep. But it's just a nice little exhibition.
It's still good. And I think like that's, you know, we can still talk about like what's not ideal in the concept of what is good.
Yeah.
I think so.
I agree. The constructive criticism.
We're here for
part.
Real talk. Yeah. So hopefully that's what you're tuning in for, because that's what you bloody get.
But yeah, I think that probably wraps this one up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when this exhibition's on to, but it literally just started. So,
but that happens, like, and there's some other like cool stuff going on.
Yes. Well.
Well, that's how we like to end each episode. Yeah. We like to check in with each other to see what we're looking forward to. And it doesn't have to be art things, but I think Alice's might just be an art thing.
In this case, it is an art thing, because this exhibition is in what I would call the small room at the Hatton.
Yes.
It's not to say it's tiny, but it's smaller than the rest of it. Because in like the two long rooms, again, technical with room names here, in the two long rooms of the Hatton, there's this exhibition called Illuminating the Self. And we had the quickest of run-throughs when we went to go see this exhibition. And we're like, oh, this is too much stuff. We don't have the time to really look and take this in. Even more
what
so...
what we've seen looks good.
Yeah, even more so because there's also a second part of it on at Vane Gallery right now.
And I saw that when I was flicking through Crack Magazine. And I like bookmarked it. I think I sent it to you and I was like, we have to go and see this.
Yeah,
then we found out it was also on at the Hatton. Yeah. So now I'm like really pumped.
So I want to see, like, is it so big that it needs two galleries? Is there different components? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, and it's like across the city, which is, I don't know, like it could be really cool. So maybe we'll do a double parter, like, who knows?
Ooh, we'll have a double bill
here.
We'll
have to see if it's good first.
That's true. So. And if there's no episode about it, that's a very damning condemnation.
Or we just weren't organised.
But
you'll never know.
Yep. What are you looking forward to, Rosie?
Well, I am also looking forward to something arty, but it's not art.
Okay.
And it's very much like thinking of like, oh, it was nice to experience like music. And it was because this is like proper music. Like this is like a cello. And was it a cello?
I think so. Or like a double bass.
Proper instruments,
and like clarinets and that.
It was lush. And I do generally like that sort of thing, but I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, something else. I love the theatre, but like, you know, you have to make it a bit of a thing to go to the theatre. We should change that in 2020.
Sure.
Go to the theatre more often. But I'm going to the theatre with my brother and his support worker, my dear friend, John Rogerson.
Ooh.
We're going to go see Holes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's good. I'm really excited.
Where's that on?
The story of Stanley Yelnats, which is Stanley Yelnats. Yelnats is Stanley, spelt backwards. And it's on at the Theatre Royal.
Oh, so the big one. Oh, dang.
And it's about, what is it? Is dirty, rotten, no good, pig stealing, great-great-grandfather.
I saw half that movie once about 15 years ago, so I've got no idea.
It's so good. My brother loves it and he can quote quite a lot of it. So
okay.
I'm very excited and it'll be nice to go with John because like me and John get on, Jim and John get on, we're all buddies. And it's nice for Jim to like have a little social, like to have a little group.
Yeah.
And that's like nice social interaction, I think. Oh. So I'm looking forward to that.
That sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to that on your behalf as well.
Oh. I'll send Jim your love.
Hey, perfect. Nice. Oh, that's great. Well, on that lovely, positive, happy note,
yeah.
If you want to catch any info about the show or like get a hold of us, we're on social medias, Instagram, Twitter, at heyartwhatsgood. Got a website, heyartwhatsgood.com. You can shoot me an email if you've got any questions or recommendations or want to chat about art, heyartwhatsgood@gmail.com.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having a listen.
Yeah.
And until next time.
See you next week.